Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:18 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 10th. I thought we'd kick off today with the yield curve spread. It has contracted from about 70 basis points at the beginning of the week down to about 56 basis points. It was inverted back in August. That gave a lead indicator for the recession that has now been deemed to start in February. So it was about a five-month delay, so that's on the shorter side. Historically, when we look at the yield curve, it's generally when it surges through 50 basis points after an inversion, that's usually bad news for the stock market. But it's increasingly likely the Federal Reserve is going to engage in yield curve control. Part of the reason for that is because the 30-year has been rising, and it is currently testing the 1.5% level. Well, that is an interesting region. It's a big psychological level. It cruised through that area last week. Now the question is whether 1.5% is going to represent an area of support. The Federal Reserve said today that they are going to leave interest rates on hold for the next 2 years, and that they are going to spend about $120 billion a month in buying both treasury and mortgage-backed securities. That has helped to ensure that the 10-year yield is going to remain compressed. They are quite likely to continue to buy these bonds as long as there's any threat of rising borrowing costs impacting the ability of the US government to continue to supply liquidity and to meet their expanded budget deficits. Well, that is bad news for the banking sector. Regardless of the Main Street lending facility that's likely to be expanded over the course of the next week or two, the banking sector had got right up to the lower side of the overhead trading range and wound most of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and was in down in a dynamic manner in here today, confirming at least near-term resistance in the region of 300. It's quite likely we're going to see additional lower to lateral arranging, because it's going to be virtually impossible for banks to make money when there is a 50 basis point pickup between the 2-year and the 10-year. Then their entire business model is impinged, and that certainly suggests that the responsibility or the impetus for providing liquidity is no longer going to be with the banking sector. It's going to all fall on the shoulders of the Federal Reserve. Well, that activity is also positive for gold, and it was up $20 in here today, so finding support in the region of the lower side of the range. It has been doing a bit better against just about all currencies, and against the Australian dollar it has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average and the lows from back in February and March. It's also found at least near-term support in the British pound, and also steadying against the euro. So we certainly have evidence here of gold starting to turn around. It was also positive for silver, and silver prices were up another 53 cents in here today. That's a reasonably dynamic move, confirming support in the region of the 200-day moving average. I did reduce some of my silver position last week, just on the basis that we'd already had an impressive move, but this is certainly encouraging that we have got some support coming through here. I think it is still likely we're going to see a pushback up towards the $20 area. And the gold miners index was also in positive territory here today, so it is now confirming support around that $30 area, which was the upper side of the 7-year base formation. So that is also really quite positive. There are a significant number of gold miners that have all-in sustaining costs south of $1,000. So when the gold price is trading north of $1,700, then they are throwing off significant cash flows, and they are not under any great pressure to spend on greenfield sites. Rather, they are much more more interested in merging with one another. the announcement, for example, last week that SSR Mining, which used to be called Silver Standard Resources, is merging with Alacer Gold. That is another example of how two medium-sized companies are combining. One being a major silver producer, the other having a long-life gold asset. What they have in fact done has been to ensure that the production profile of the combined assets isn't going to have an interruption because of the mine life duration has now been leveled off in a ladder by merging the two companies, which would suggest to me that it's really quite a positive outcome, even when there isn't. And perhaps another, I think, important aspect of what's going on in the mining sector right now is that it's another merger where it was a zero premium. In other words, a marriage of equals, that they are merging with one another to improve their financial position rather than being aggressive in taking one another over at significant premiums. It's usually when gold miners and other miners are borrowing a ton of money to buy out their competition. That's usually a sign that we're at the top of the market. When they are doing it on a zero premium basis and are doing it for premium assets, and in fact the CEO of Alacer is going to take over as CEO of SSR Mining, then that I think is a rather positive sign, and not least because they are merging rather than spending a ton of money on greenfield sites. Well, when we then think about the stock market, perhaps should have shorted the Russell 2000 yesterday. It was down in a reasonably dynamic manner here from the region of the trend mean today. We have short-term overbought conditions. There has been a very significant rally over the last 3 months, and the clear pressure is on investors to get into the market. That was certainly evident in the NASDAQ today, and it was trading north of 10,000. It briefly tested that level yesterday, broke above it in here today. So we've had a really rather impressive breakout over the last four sessions, but we have a very overbought condition. We don't have a lot of underlying trading to support this move. I still think that we are due some consolidation, and the index wasn't quite able to hold on to all of its gain in here today. Well, the share that most exemplified that was Amazon. It did push on the upside and encountered resistance at $2,700 and change. There is clear scope that we're going to have some consolidation. On the other hand, Microsoft did push on the upside, and I think it is interesting here that Amazon is certainly got a little range underneath it, but wasn't able to hold it. Microsoft also has a little range to support the move on the upside, and it closed out on the day pretty close to the upper side of its range. Tesla is another share that popped on the upside in here today and is trading now north of $1,000. Nvidia also broke on the upside in here today. Now, when we see so many of these shares breaking on the upside, well, now the question is, do we give the benefit of the doubt to the breakouts, or do we wait for some consolidation? And I think the extent to which we see that there is a range that has just been completed rather than the market having raced to get to these levels is probably the determining factor in answering that question. But there is a broader question that's outstanding. When we listen, for example, to what Starbucks is doing, that they are redesigning their stores, they are looking at much lower footfall, and that is going to impact their growth. We listen to what the Fed is talking about, that there's going to be a rebound in growth next year, but it's unlikely to completely erase the decline put in this year, that it could be upwards of 2 years before we completely erase the the coronavirus impact on the global economy. Well, that is basically erasing an entire year from growth. And that is simply not in stock markets valuation. So one thing we see at very important peaks is that people are not worried about what earnings are going to be like for the next 6 months or the next year. They're much more interested in what earnings are going to be like in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years. And we are getting a bit of that coming through right now. So I do suspect that we are going to get much greater divergence between the winners and losers. Mattel, for example, had rebounded from 7 to 11 and encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. And that is much more reliant on global trade, on the potential for sales to pick up when people are back at work and spending more money on toys. But again, look at the trend. It's been going down for 7 years already, and this is still a consistent decline. When we look at then some of what had been the better performers, MasterCard or Visa have experienced steep declines, impressive rebounds, and they are back above their respective trend means. So now the question is, in a consolidation, are they going to find support in the region of their trend means? I do think now that we need to address each individual share on its individual merits, that the way that people have been investing over the course of the last while has been to simply buy the index. But we are likely to see a great deal more volatility in individual shares, and I think that is creating an opportunity for stock pickers overall. When we move on, looking at the euro, it was up in additional positive territory again in here today, was not able to hold all of the advance. So Europe has certainly seen their currency do better over the course of the last 3 weeks. There is no country wants a strong currency, and a lot of the strength we've seen over the course of the last 2 weeks has been pricing in the additional stimulus that's coming through from the USA. Now the question is, what's going to happen in terms of how much stimulus is Europe willing to implement? But I think the most important thing that's happened has been that the euro has broken its downtrend. So yes, we have a short-term overbought condition, but there is the clear potential that we are going to see it find support above 110 on the next occasion that we do see a pullback. And what we may just be seeing now is some consolidation following the really quite impressive advance in the first week of this month. If the dollar is in fact peaking, and that the multi-year period of dollar outperformance is in fact over, then that is positive for investor flows into countries in Europe. And the Euro Stoxx index, well, it was in mildly negative territory in here today, and it is overbought in the short term, but it is also in the region of its trend mean, and it has unwound all of the oversold condition. This is a natural area where we should anticipate some consolidation. And I do think that that is the operative word, that the NASDAQ at 10,000 says, it's an area where people ask what's next. And how many people are going to want to hold on to their Microsoft 365 subscription? How many people will have all of the streaming services? Will they limit their streaming budget to holding on to Netflix? And will they continue to spend aggressively on Amazon when the unemployment rate is still high? And we still have this uncertainty about the coronavirus. One thing that we know is that there are at least three are moving towards more human tests. There is the strong likelihood that there will be thousands of volunteers inoculated with potential vaccine candidates over the summer, so that by the time we roll around to September, October, we will have a candidate that will have been rigorously tested on thousands of individuals. Now, that, of course, is a few months hence, and then we have the additional challenge of making sure that everyone has access to a vaccine. And that could take another 6 months. So in between now and then, I think it's unlikely that we're going to see lockdowns extended. People have simply had enough of it. And the reality is that when we look at the stress on the streets with the massive surge in unemployment, well, what that is also helping to highlight is that people are sick to death of lockdowns and that they are willing to take risks because in many respects it comes down to a quality of life rather than a quantity of life determination. And I've certainly seen evidence of that on the streets over the course of the last couple of weeks, especially at these protests where you see that some people wear masks and some people don't, and they are crowded together cheek by jowl. I think that is certainly something that increases the potential that we're going to have additional upticks in cases. The number of global cases continues to escalate because Latin America in particular has done a particularly bad job of trying to contain it. That is true of Mexico and Brazil and Argentina. And Brazil in particular may even be lying about their number of cases. So there are likely to be some disturbing pictures of bodies piling up on the streets. And that is something we've already seen over a month ago in Guayaquil in Ecuador. Now, the question arises with the countries that have been highly successful in containing it. Are they going to be able to continue to benefit when international trade and the tourism sector in particular is deeply impacted? The Australian index was pretty much unchanged in here today, and it is right in the region of the trend mean. Now, are they going to set up a containment area where there'll be free travel between Australia and New Zealand and not many other places? Well, that's obviously a potential outcome. A lot of Australia's exports are heavily reliant on economic growth. Copper was really quite firm in here today. That is quite positive. It does suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and it has pushed back up into the overhead trading range. So now the question is it going to hold that move, and will $2.50 represent an area of support now? I still think it is likely that we are going to have a significant infrastructure development boom globally in order to employ people and to address some of the infrastructure shortfalls that are evident in a significant number of countries. Well, that's obviously beneficial for the copper price. What the Fed is basically telling us is that we're in a period of deflation, that the response to that deflation could eventually cause inflation, but that is not an urgent consideration. I guess the key determinant of whether we have inflation or not is going to be the extent to which the money that's created ends up in the hands of consumers. And if consumers then go out and spend, well, that is something that would obviously have an impact. But we're just not there yet. It is too early to make a determination about whether we are going to have a big inflationary outcome. But the performance of commodities, the performance of gold, and the performance of stock markets suggests that it is certainly asset prices we are starting to see inflation in. And I thought it was also relevant in here today that Bitcoin was up $135. It is coming right back to test this $10,000 level, and there is the potential that it is going to break on the upside. This does look like more of a consolidation than a peak, and there is clear potential that as an uncorrelated asset it is going to start attracting more interest from institutional investors. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.